Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
John Orand is our favorite when it comes to TV media and things like television ratings, which he and I care about. I know not everybody cares about that stuff. But there is a developing situation, if you're not following this, with the Caps, you know, basically a week away from the start of their season, the Wizards a little bit further off, with how we're going to consume those games. For those of you that are interested, I understand not everybody's interested in the Wizards right now. John and I are. We're diehards, always have been. So update everybody on this, you know, monumental sports being dropped by YouTube and by others, and how people in the DMV are going to be able to watch Wizards Caps games this year.
Can I ask you a quick question first, Kevin?
Yes.
Because you host a local radio talk sports talk show. How many calls are you getting on this?
Look, if I were going to get calls on this, I wouldn't need you on the show. I'm kidding, of course. But, yeah, I'm interested in this, and this is one of those things. This is real inside baseball, right? When in doubt during football season, you talk football, period, in this kind of format, period. If you stray away from the Skins, the Commanders, or the NFL, you're at great risk, unless there's something that you're really passionate about or it's important information for everybody to know. Or the guest is always really good. And you're always really good. So I'm not losing here, but if you want to know the truth, the number of calls would be minimal. Minimal.
Well, here's the good news. I love this topic, so I can't wait to talk about it. And so the problem is that Ted and Zach Leontes ran into a buzzsaw of the entire media industry. And across the country, you have cable operators, including Comcast, and you've had satellite distributors, including DirecTV, that have been taking the regional sports networks, which is what Monumental Sports is, and putting it on another tier, like a more expensive tier, because they're tired of the proverbial grandmother down the street helping to subsidize our addiction to local NBA and NHL games. Well, what's happening right now is that as of today, Monumental Sports Network is dark on Hulu Plus Live TV, which is a streaming service through Disney, and they went dark on YouTube TV, which is becoming, now the third largest distributor. If you take a look at the number of regional sports networks that Hulu Plus Live TV and YouTube TV carry, it's only the NBC sports regional networks, and it's going to drop those networks too when those contracts come up, and it just happens to be Monumental Sports Network's time. And so, you know, there are no other RSNs there. There's the FanDuel Sports Networks, the former Fox Sports Networks. They're not on it. Yes Network isn't on it. This is the way the industry is going, and it's sort of like what's happening to Monumental Sports Network. So, one of the reasons is that, you know, I know that some of the messaging coming out of Monumental is, you know, we're dropping the price. The price is still very high compared to all the other programming that people get. And it
you're
just
talking about to watch
these
games via monumentalsports.com.
No, I'm talking about with the price that YouTube TV pays
programming. It. Well, hold on. Just big picture. If the Caps fans want to watch the Caps starting a week from tomorrow night in the regular season, if they have cable, they'll have Monumental, and they'll be able to watch the games, correct?
Correct.
If they have YouTube TV, which I have now, they won't be able to. If they have Hulu Plus, they won't be able to watch those games unless they watch it through Monumental Sports and pay a subscription fee.
Exactly. And so if you're a distributor, everything that I'm going to espouse is sort of anti-consumer, because like the consumers just want to watch the games, right?
Yeah.
But like if you're YouTube TV, you're saying, why am I going to pay for that programming when you're selling it on your own? There's no exclusivity to us here in order to have it. And even if you go to Comcast, you're going to be spending like a ton of money because you have to get an added tier in order to see it.
Right.
And so there are business reasons why these companies aren't just being mean. And also, if you look at YouTube TV, they're right now in the middle of a knockdown, drag-out fight with NBC Universal. They're also getting ready for a knockdown, drag-out fight with Disney and all of their channels. And they just got through a knockdown fight with Fox. So Monumental Sports Network and the Capitals and Wizards, that doesn't hit their radar screen. Like that's just when Zach Leonsis came out and said, like, they're not even talking to us. There's a reason for that. They're focused on these other like multi-billion-dollar deals with these bigger, with these bigger program networks.
Okay. So this is interesting. So they're just too small of they're a fly on, you know, on YouTube TVs and NBC, you know, they're dealing with the big boys. They're dealing with all the NBC issues.
Well, not only are they just a fly, not only are they small, but the entire strategy of these companies has been moving away from carrying local regional sports networks. And
right.
So
what do they do? What do the Leonsises do here?
I think what they have to do is they have to really plug two things. They have to start really pitching their direct to consumer service, because you can watch every single game. It's going to cost you, but you can go to Monumental Sports Network and watch every single game. And they have to plug that. And they also have to try to get people to go over to Comcast or DirecTV or any other service that has their games. And third, speaking as a Wizards fan, Kevin, they have to put a product on the floor that I'm going to want to pay for to watch. The Wizards won 18 games last year and 15 games the year before. And the last time they were over 500 was in 2018. So when they're trying to whip Wizards fans into a revolt, like they're taking away your games, like they haven't been relevant in a decade since John Wall was in town. So you know, they have to get a winning product. They have to promote their own direct-to-consumer service, and they have to send people over to, you know, Comcast, DirecTV, and other distributors that carry Monumental Sports Network.
I mean, the problem with the Comcast thing is so many people have switched to YouTube TV for a number of reasons and have moved away from cable, just like everybody's moving away from these RSNs. So the direct-to-consumer thing would make sense, but I just don't know. This is my gut. I'm paying whatever it takes to watch every NFL game, okay? And I will do that every year. But I'm not paying, as you just described, a premium to watch, even though I love the Wizards and they are close to my heart. I'm not paying, you know, another fee to watch that product. And by the way, it would have to be a great product. So I'm curious, how has their direct-to-consumer business gone?
I haven't seen the numbers, but the problem that Ted and Zach have right now is that the Capitals, the NHL fan base is rabid, and they're going to follow the team wherever it is, but it's relatively small. It's a hockey fan base. And
right.
And the NBA fan base, I actually looked this up before coming on. The team with the NBA team with the worst record since 2000, it's your Washington Wizards. There's not Jim Dolan's Knicks, not Michael Jordan's Hornets. It's the Wizards, and so it's hard to whip up that fan base to go and watch it. And then if you listen to some of the preseason chatter about the upcoming season, it's like, oh, well, we hope we're competitive in the second half of the season, and that's not going to get people to subscribe to direct consumer service, and it's not going to whip up a frenzy of people that are going to be ditching their YouTube TV subscriptions in order to get this regional sports network.
What about an over-the-air option?
That is an option, and that's an option that other people are doing in that some people are doing in other markets. The problem is that they have existing deals with DirecTV, with Comcast, that so they can't take games out of those packages and put them over the air. I guess they could, but it's something that they can't do on a dime. That's going to take a little bit of a negotiation, and it does happen in certain markets.
Over the air, by the way, for those wondering, that would be like putting the games on Channel 9 or Channel 7 or Channel 5 or Channel 4.
Channel 20 back in the day.
Channel 20 back in the day, yes. Channel 20 back in the day. Of course, back in the day, those were just road games, remember. Yeah, we didn't get the home games on Channel 20.
Road games, and I think they were only on like Friday nights, too, or Saturday nights. It was only like a
weekend. I don't know. I can remember watching weeknight games on Channel 20. I think most of the road games when we were younger were over the air on Channel 20, but they couldn't do home games because of the protection of, unless, the sellouts were in advance. They didn't even have a sellout rule, I don't think, in the NBA. You could correct me if I'm wrong.
My parents were too strict. I had to go to bed.
It was home team sports, though, that eventually carried all of the home games and then eventually all of the games. Yeah, this is, I guess on some level, wouldn't Ted think this is going to drive more people to my direct-to-consumer offering? Which, by the way, what is the cost of that? I have no idea what the cost of that is.
I should have looked that up. It's I don't know what the cost of it is. I think
is it hundreds of dollars a year or is it $50 a year?
No, I would expect it to be about $20 a month or maybe $30 a month or something sort of in that area.
So like $240, over $200 a year.
To jump in real quick, fellas, they dropped the annual price to $179.99. The monthly price is still, I think, $20 a month.
Okay, so instead of $240, you can pay for it for the year for what did you say?
$179.99, $180.
All right. So you get a $60 discount if you pay it for the year. I don't know anybody that would pay for that for the Wizards. I don't.
You know, I have friends who remain Orioles fans, and they got the Masson direct-to-consumer service for the Orioles games, and they ditched it by June because the Orioles were out of it and they had no luck. So the beauty of this for fans is if, you're a Caps fan and they start slowly and you can ditch it. You're not stuck to it for the entire season and you can end up saving some money potentially on it, I suppose.
Look, it's better than paying for Comcast and YouTube TV, obviously, at $20 a month.
No doubt, but I would think that if you're a big Wizards fan or if you're a big Caps fan and you want access to the RSN, you're going to ditch YouTube TV, you're going to ditch Hulu, and you're going to go back to Comcast, or you're going to get a satellite dish and get it through DirecTV.
But again, to your point, the products being offered just aren't needle movers for most.
Yeah, they could be in a couple of years, but they just aren't today. I mean, the timing how long have the Wizards been in the rebuilding mode now?
Five years? A long time, since 1979, basically. All right, we're talking to John Orand. John, yeah, go ahead. You were going to say something.
Oh, no. I'm good.
Oh, yeah. At Orand _ puck on X. John, of course, is a sports correspondent for Puck News, and he's got a really good podcast called The Varsity with John Orand. You can get that anywhere you get a podcast. In looking ahead to a potential, baseball lockout, this is off of the conversation of just Ted in general. He's had interest, obviously, in purchasing the Nats. These RSNs are dying all over the place. And now Major League Baseball is taking back, for a lot of teams, sort of the TV rights, and they're going to sell them themselves. Is that essentially, along with, a salary cap, yes or no? A salary cap makes it more attractive to own a baseball team than no salary cap. But the TV aspect of that, John, does that make it less attractive for Ted?
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In a certain sense, it could, because he just bought this RSN in 2022. He only bought it 3 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
Because it used to be owned by NBC Sports Network and run by NBC. So it was just about 3 years ago that he bought this. So this is a big payout for an investment for him, and he wants to build it out. And the best way to build it out, obviously, is through local sports rights. However, one of the things that baseball is taking a look at, and a deal that has not been announced yet, but everybody knows it's coming, is ESPN is going to be the exclusive provider of MLB.TV. That's the out-of-market streaming package. And so if you get the ESPN's direct-to-consumer service, you're going to have access to out-of-market baseball games. It's also because baseball controls the rights to several teams that just got the Mariners rights, the Padres rights, Diamondbacks, Rockies. I forget what there's one more out there as well. I forget which one that is. They have the local rights to that. And that package, if baseball is able to amass all these local rights, and there's a good chance they will be, because what's happening here in D.C., again, it's happening across the country. It's not unique to, to Ted and Zach or D.C. If they're able to get that, and your ESPN or your Amazon or your YouTube, Royals games in Kansas City, they're the most, they bring in the most viewers of anything on TV, whether the Royals are good or not.
Wow.
Same thing with Orioles games and Baltimore, same thing with Twins games in Minnesota. And so if you start to amass those local rights and put them on a streaming service like the ESPN streaming service, or again, like Amazon or YouTube, that's a package that these companies are going to pay billions of dollars for. So what local teams are going to give up in terms of the local revenue, they're going to make up in spades if it's sold nationally like that. And so that's one way to look at it. The problem is you have teams like the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Cubs, the bigger teams in the bigger markets that don't want to take part. But you can see where baseball is moving in terms of this. It's just going to start with the smaller markets and then start to build from that.
I'm talking to John Orand. All right, let's talk some football. I mean, we've seen this has been a pretty good start. Monday night, by the way, was a disaster, those two games. But until Monday night, where are the overall NFL numbers and even college football numbers? It seems like every press release I read, it's like it's another record.
Okay, we love to talk about ratings. I've tried to stop writing about ratings this season because Nielsen is changing the way that it counts ratings, and it benefits the NFL, and it benefits college football. Everything is up right now, and it's not
necessarily
because. For example, they count out of market, out of home viewers, and so that means like if you're watching it at a bar or a hospital or a restaurant or anything like that at a friend's house. They used to say, okay, out-of-home viewers are going to be a certain number of people. I don't know the specifics, like two and a half. And, they increase that to like four. And so that just sort of like that adds to that. They're increasing the markets where they add in the out-of-home too. So that's adding numbers into it too. So
okay. Is that a better reflection of the audience size, but just bad for comparison purposes?
Exactly. So I do believe that it better reflects how many people are watching it. But when you say this, when, for example, you have a blowout Super Bowl and it's like, hey, golly gee, this got the most viewers ever in Super Bowl history. You start to scratch your head and say like, wait, what's different? And how is that even possible? So everything is up. If you look at the total numbers, the NFL is still, not just the king of sports, but the king of entertainment programming in the United States. And one of the stories that I've been ODing on, Kevin, is the NFL has an out in its media contracts in 2029, and so that's still 5 years away. But Roger Goodell and the networks, both sides, are saying that they'd be willing to open it up even next year in order to just get some sort of certainty. You know, these TV networks want to make sure that they keep this going until 2034 or beyond. And so that's something that I've been ODing on, and it just shows that the TV networks, the streamers, and the NFL all are beyond thrilled with the numbers that are coming out of the NFL.
So, I mean, are we going to end up, even if it gets done, if something gets done, if something gets amended before 2029, are we going to just all as consumers end up paying even more to watch every game? Who doesn't have the NFL at this point? Apple TV, Hulu. I mean, who else is going to get involved? Everybody is going to try to get involved no matter what the price is.
So right now, like, YouTube is involved with the NFL, but they only had one game. Netflix is involved with the NFL, but it only has those Christmas Day games. So what if the NFL decides, like, okay, we're going to reopen these deals, and we're going to take a couple of Sunday afternoon games, maybe from the 1 o'clock packages, and we'll put them and create a new package that maybe Netflix will spend $1 billion on, or maybe YouTube will spend $1 billion on. So that doesn't mean consumers are going to pay more. Potentially, but it also means that the consumers are going to be able to see more, because they're going to take a game that's going to like 5% of the audience on Sunday afternoon, and it'll give it a national window or an international window, for goodness sakes, on Netflix or YouTube. So there are different trade-offs to it.
I texted you about this, and you don't know what the numbers are, but I'm curious if you
know what
have
I did. I did double check, so I don't have for Commanders local ratings. I don't have week four yet. Through week three, they're kind of mediocre. They're averaging about 13 locally, which is that's a rating, and that's below the league average.
Yeah,
but. There's the schedule has been really mediocre for the Commanders. One Thursday night game, the Giants haven't been a draw for a while. Las Vegas, Atlanta. I would give this some time to see what happens on that. Right now, it's not very good, but the schedule hasn't been a very TV friendly schedule for the team.
I hear you, but this was the most anticipated season with the highest expectations in a long, long time, with a superstar quarterback. I'm shocked by that. You know, they've sold out their first two home games. It took them a long time to sell those games out. They have not sold out every other game this year. We've talked about the reasons why, and I think we even disagree somewhat on the reasons why. But a 13 locally, so where does that rank?
I don't have the actual rankings. So
But it's bottom half of the league, right?
Yeah, the source said it's below the league average, so it's the bottom half of the league. And the source that I had just mentioned the schedule so far. When they play the Cowboys, when they play the Eagles, when they get some of these bigger games on the schedule,
But remember, they were low last year, even with a 7-2 record and one of the hottest teams in the NFL with the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. But what people have told me, we'll see what happens. It's a bad start, no doubt. Or not a bad start. It's a mediocre start. Let's wait and see, because it's the year after the breakout year that you start to see it reflected in the viewership. And so we'll see if this is it certainly isn't a green flag. It's not quite a red flag. What's the middle? A beige flag, pink flag, something to keep your eye on, but it's not great right now.
You know, I have a complaint watching college football, and I'm wondering if this is a thing or not. So when you watch games on Peacock, it's a pain in the you-know-what to get from Peacock out of Peacock back to YouTube TV, you know, to watch all of these games. I have found myself almost avoiding the Peacock game unless it's really close late because of that. Is that a complaint, or am I just old and I haven't figured out the easy way to go from that kind of streaming to YouTube?
A little bit of both. It's because whenever I complain about it, younger people get frustrated with me. I sound like a boomer to them.
Yeah, but my sons have agreed with me on this.
I'm telling you that what you just identified is we didn't talk a lot about YouTube TV's negotiations with NBC Universal. That it all centers around this because NBC Universal wants you to come to watch it in Peacock, and then if you have to get out of Peacock, then you do that in order to watch something else. YouTube TV is saying, we want to make it a better user experience, so we want to have Peacock within YouTube TV so that you can easily go from one to the other. NBC doesn't want to give up that control. It's saying, like, we're not going to let you know what our viewership is and, you know, being able to sell it to advertising, and there's a lot of control issues there. And yeah. YouTube is saying it's better for the fans, and it's hard to see a middle ground here. One is going to have to give as opposed to the other, and that's where the big problem is. And it's because of what you said. You mentioned Peacock, Thursday Night Football. I sit through the commercials for Thursday Night Football. I never sit through the commercials anymore. It's hard to get out. You identified a really big problem in the business that these multi-billion, trillion-dollar companies are right now arguing over.
Tell me about Ryder Cup ratings, and I think it's a tremendous event. I think it's an event for non-sports fans, or casual sports fans, but it's up against football. So how does it do? And do you think they'll ever consider changing the date?
I haven't heard that they'd consider changing the date. I don't have the exact numbers off the top of my head, but I saw them as being like 3-4 million for the Sunday, which for golf, any kind of golf is pretty good, especially considering that the match seemed to be pretty much over on Saturday. So yeah. it was probably hard for tune in on that. The NBC loves having it. They have a long-term deal with the PGA Tour, and NBC doesn't have a Sunday afternoon football, and this having something that they can slot in September every couple of years that bring, you know, 4 or 5 million people, plus the number of people that are now subscribing to Peacock because of it. I don't see the date changing. Something that, you know, one of the biggest media companies in the country is doubling down on. So it's going to be 2 years from now, it'll be pretty much similar. 4 years from now, pretty much similar as well.
All right, last one, and I've gone way over with you per usual.
I know.
But you and I have talked about
fun on this.
I know.
Exactly.
We've talked about Troy Aikman over the years, you know, how NFC East fans don't like him. I've never had that issue with Troy. I've actually always thought he was good. But there has been a development with Troy Aikman as a broadcaster in the last two seasons. It's become a huge trend on social media. He can't stop laughing during the broadcast. Have you noticed this? And what are they doing about it? This has become annoying to a lot. I mean, it is every single game. You'll see it trending on social media. Can Troy stop laughing at everything, including his own attempts at humor?
Is he laughing at Joe Buck or the play on the
field? He's laughing at everything. He just can't stop laughing. He's giggling and laughing football throughout the entire broadcast. Look, the game he had the other night, I can't blame him. But, I mean, so do you know about this thing?
I hate to say that I don't. My Monday Night Football is stuck on the Manning cast. I love watching the Manning cast. It's after a whole weekend of football, like it's just kind of a good way to ease out of the weekend to me. So I don't watch the Joe Buck and Troy Aikman nearly as much as I should. Next time I come on, I'm going to have a ready answer for you, though, I promise.
All right. I got to roll. I always enjoy this. Thanks. Appreciate it, as always. Hey,
thanks a ton, man. Take care.
All right. John Orand, everybody. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.